Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. After we have a Bible reading and prayer and some special music, the title of my message will be, If Thou Wilt Be Perfect. If Thou Wilt Be Perfect. And I'll show you where that is later on in the message. If Thou Wilt Be Perfect. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Turn with me again, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus said, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Perfect means complete. Means finished. It means the end, altogether completed. Perfect. If we are to see our Heavenly Father, or to be in heaven with our Heavenly Father, I should say, we're going to have to be perfect. There's just no doubt about it. We're just going to have to be perfect. With men, our Lord said, this is impossible. With men, it's an impossibility to be perfect, to have perfection. And I don't care how good we might think we are, there's no perfection there. Not in us. It's not in us. With men, this is impossible. But thank the Lord, he added this statement to that. But with God, all things are possible. God could do it. As a matter of fact, God did it. He was, our Lord Jesus Christ, was that perfect sacrifice. Was the perfect Savior, is the perfect substitute for us, is the perfect satisfaction that God was looking for. He paid the perfect price of redemption, the blood of the everlasting covenant. He is our perfect peace. And if our minds are stayed on him, we'll enjoy that perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Paul said in Ephesians, he is our peace. He is the one who had perfect obedience. We could not keep the law. We'll see that as we go on here a little more about that. We could not see the law, keep the law. There was no way. If a man tried to keep all the law and yet offended in one point, he's guilty of it all. Not just one point. He's guilty of the whole thing. There's not a perfect person in here in themselves. Now, there are perfect people in here. I believe that. But I'm going to show you how that could be here as we go along. You see, man is imperfect. No man will stand perfect on his own. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. I think I believe God's word, won't you? That's what he says about it. Man is imperfect. Man is imperfect. There's three things I hope I can get across as we go through this message tonight. One is, man is imperfect. There's not a perfect person in themselves. The second is, the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. He's perfect. Everything he did, he perfectly did for you and for me. And that's what we read about here in Hebrews chapter 10. Lo, I've come to do thy will, O God. And what did he come to do? To give his body an offering for sin. And he did it perfectly. So perfectly that he carried his own blood to the portals, to glory, and his blood there covers our sin. Sometimes I think about that. How does all that work? You know, when they went into the Holy of Holies, when the high priest went in and only he could go in, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they'd take the blood of the Lamb, first of all for themselves on the brazen altar, and then for the people as they went into the Holy of Holies, and they sprinkled the blood on the altar, all over the altar. The picture was that the Lord in that mercy seat, all over the mercy seat, the Lord that was in the mercy seat would be looking at the high priest as a representative of all the people, and when he saw that blood, he passed over their sin, passed over those people, and gave them life. The high priest representing Jesus Christ himself. Perfect. Perfect. I can't say too much about that. He was perfect. The Lord saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied with him. So satisfied that he raised him from the dead for our justification. Man is imperfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. He offered himself, and by the way, so perfect, he offered himself without spot unto God, Hebrews chapter 9 says. Peter said it this way, he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. The writer of Hebrews also said, who being the brightness of his God's glory, the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We'd not see God, we'd not be with God, because we're imperfect in the flesh. But someone is, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he sits there to intercede for you and me. All men are imperfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, and he has perfected his own. His people he has perfected. He bore the sins of his people on the cross. Isaiah said it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The psalmist David said it this way, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will do it. I can't do it. I can't make myself perfect. I can't do all kinds of good things and all of a sudden become perfect. It's an impossibility. As a matter of fact, I was shapen in iniquity and sin. Did my mother conceive me? I went astray from the womb speaking lies. Or I'm glad that the Lord in John chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer said these words too. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect. That they may be made perfect. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. How could that be? They're the ones that preach the word of truth, the word of grace. And God uses these called preachers through the preaching of the word to produce faith in the heart of his people. For the perfecting of the saints. And if we don't get it from anywhere else, we can get it right here. According to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, ye are complete in him. You're perfect. You're perfect in Jesus Christ. Now, my problem is sin. Not the things that I do, although I do sin. The problem is me. I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I sin. And I gained that, if we can say it that way, from Father Adam. When he fell, I fell in him. When he fell, sin entered into the world. You can see that from the first two sons that were born to Adam and Eve. Cain killed his brother. And then on through, all the way through the scripture, God is angry with the wicked every day. Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He said it twice in the same chapter just to emphasize it for us. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul said the wages of sin is death. On the other hand, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now that's perfection. That's being perfected. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus said of himself, our Lord Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Hold your place. We're going to get to Hebrews 10. Hold your place there and go just a few pages further to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Here's a prayer. They call it benedictions, but it's actually a prayer. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, we start out with a shadow. We start out with a shadow. The Old Testament sacrifices, they were shadows. They were pictures of what was to come. In the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, they had to put their trust in God's word, in God's Son. There's where salvation was. Salvation wasn't in the keeping of the law. Salvation wasn't in the sacrifices that they brought to the Lord continually. Salvation wasn't in the high priest going once a year into the Holy of Holies, bringing a sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice for all the people and confessing their sins. Salvation wasn't in any of that. That was a picture. That was a snapshot, if you will. That was the shadow. And in verses 1 to 4, he says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. No amount of sacrifices, no amount of work, no amount of doing will make any of us perfect of our own. Mark your place there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. See, these sacrifices, people think that, you know, well, I've sacrificed my time. Well, he has no pleasure in that because my times are in his hands. You ever think about that? Well, I sacrificed my substance. I sacrificed my money. What do we have that we've not received? What kind of sacrifice is that then? Sometimes we think we sacrifice who we are, who we were. And Paul says, I count it all but done for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, to win Christ. He had no pleasure in these sacrifices. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What can I do? The master met him at the level of his questioning, at his level of approach. He said, I want to know what works I can do. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And the master said, well, all right. First of all, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That's who you're talking to. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And the young man said, which one? Jesus said, verse 18, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? First of all, what was before his youth? He was born into sin. He had Adam's nature, the old sinful nature. But let's just assume that he kept everything from his youth up, and he was thinking himself a perfect man. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now you want to be perfect. If you're going to go and be with your heavenly Father, you're going to have to be perfect. You're not get there any other way. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Did Jesus mean what he said? He certainly did. I think he did. He meets everybody at their own level of approach. This young man was keeping the law, probably a great law keeper, one of the best law keepers of his day. But he lacked something, and that was love for his neighbor. He had something that was love for money, love for substance, love of things. But isn't what Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil? Not money, but the love of it. Love of money, the root of all evil. That's where this man was found. And when he heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? With God, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And if anybody's going to be saved, it's because God chose, purposed, called, sanctified, justified, glorified them before the world ever began, the elect. So here we have the Old Testament shadow, and here's a young man that thought he could do whatever he could, keep the law. What lack I yet? Some people think that they could just keep doing, and one of these days God will say, well, you've done enough. Come on. You're all right. It'll never happen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Let me read a passage here. We're still going to go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. These Galatians had a problem with this. They wanted to add works to grace. This is an impossibility. works to perfection. If something is perfect and you added to it, would it still be perfect? If something was perfect and you took away from it something, would it still be perfect? No. The perfection is God. The perfection is Jesus Christ himself. The perfection is here. Look at verse 10, chapter 3 of Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. He's going to have to keep on keeping. He's going to have to keep on going. But look, but he's already told us, cursed is everyone that tries to live by this law. Now look at verse 13. Our perfection. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He took the curse. He took care of that for you and for me. With men, it's impossible to become perfect, to be perfect on their own. They can't save themselves. They can't do enough to get themselves saved. They can't do enough to keep themselves saved. It's all of the Lord, all of our Savior, all of Jesus Christ. It's in him we have the hope of glory, isn't it? It's all in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there's the shadow. This may not be the best way to say it, but I'm going to show you the one that cast the shadow in these next few verses. Here's what the shadow's all about. Here's who the shadows of things to come. Here's the one to come. Here's the antithesis. Here's the antitype. Here is the type that was spoken of in the shadow. Now we see him clearly. Verse 5, Hebrews 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Why did he prepare a body? He became a man for one reason. Christ came into the world, Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only sacrifice for sin. And he did it once for all. Once for all, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's the only sacrifice for sin, and he did it willingly. Now what he says here, verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Lord. He willingly became the sacrifice for his people. He willingly paid for their sins. He willingly died on the cross, and his blood shed for you and me. There's no more. Verses 17 and 18. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. There's only one person, only one offering that we can go to. This rich young ruler said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Philippian jailer sprang in to Paul and Silas. He was ready to take his life because of the earthquake and all the prison doors were open. Paul and Silas had been singing at midnight, singing and praising God. Can you imagine the scene inside a prison? The earthquake comes, the door is open, and the Philippian jailer, supposing that all the prisoners had fled, was ready to take his own life. Paul and Silas stopped him and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No other. No other has the perfect sacrifice. No other one is perfect. No other one has ever satisfied God. No other one is sitting at the right hand of God making perfect intercession for his people. There's no other one to go to. Please don't think that you can, of your own selves and of our own selves, we can muster up enough stuff that one of these days our good will outweigh the bad and we'll be able to enter into heaven. It ain't going to happen. Excuse my English. It's not going to happen. The only way is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. Religion can't get there. I tried it. 40 years I tried it. It won't get you there. I stayed in a works stupor my entire religious life. I thought I had to do something. I had to do something. I had to, if I'm going to get holier, I'm going to have to do something. You're as holy as God is, as the Lord Jesus is right now, you who know him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only sacrifice for sin. And look at verse 10. By the which will, that same will, he said, I come to do thy will, O God, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. We're sanctified. That's that word, if you'll allow me to use it in Greek, that's that word hagios. That means holy. You're holy. By the which will, whose will? God's will. You're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Paul said to the Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's God's will for your sanctification, for your perfection. And now look down in Hebrews 10 to verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's perfected them. Those that were sanctified, they've been perfected. You notice? That's past tense. All this writing, the actual writing of the scripture was past tense to us, but that's a past tense word. He hath perfected us. Sanctified us, past tense. Perfected us, past tense. Somewhere in the past, he did it for you and for me. In the past, before the world ever began, That's how he saw those he sanctified, those he elected. At the present, right now, that's how he sees those that are sanctified, those he perfected. And one of these days, he's going to present them to the Father. Jude 24, he's going to present them faultless. Faultless. Not one thing wrong. Like the Passover lamb himself, without spot, without blemish. They held him up, held the lamb up for 3 days to inspect it, to make sure there was no spots, no blemishes, no broken bones, nothing wrong with that little lamb before they killed it for the Passover. Spotless, without blemish. And that's what Christ said of his church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 26 and 27. Speaking of Christ and his church and the fact that he gave himself for it in verse 25. Verse 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There's God's people. There's the sanctified. There's all those that have been perfected. What part did we have in this?
None.
It was all of God. It's either all of God or not of God, but it was all of God. We are sinners, but aren't you glad that Christ died for the ungodly? He committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What part did we have in it? None. He was the perfect sacrifice. He's the one that sanctified us. He's the one that perfected us. He's the one that called us. He's the one that justified us. He's the one that glorified us. And who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died. The sins are gone. We're perfect. Sometimes I don't feel that way, do you? But by faith, I believe what God has done for me. If thou wilt be perfect, the only way to be with the Lord in heaven is perfection. Are you perfect? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you have taught us, showed us the gospel again. We who are imperfect have a perfect Savior. And because of what he did, he perfected us. And one day, because of our Lord, we will see him face to face. Our faith will become sight. Our hope will become reality. Because of what you did for us before this world ever began. And this evening we want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to tell you again, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.